Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the mark Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 15 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Yud Beis, a little bit less than halfway down the Omid. We open with a quote from the Mishnah dealing with the violation of not paying a worker on time. The Torah says, Lo solin pulasoch yutchad boker. And we here are dealing with the topic of at what point is that violation applicable? Amosai, when do we say that the employer is in violation? Bizman shetavoy, on the assumption that the worker sought out his pay. Lo tavo, if a worker completed his job that he was hired for and he did not claim payment from the employer, and time went by and the worker went unpaid, eino over alav, the employer is not in violation of bal tolin. Tonu rabbanan lo solin pula sochir, that is what we saw in the pasuk. This pasuk, of course, we are quite familiar with from our previous shiurim. The pasuk is from Sefer Vayikra, Perek Yud-Tes, Pasuk Yud-Gimel. And we are being told here that violation is limited to the occasion where the worker seeks out his pay. Yochel afilu lo tavo, could it be that the employer would be in violation even if the worker didn't seek out his pay? So the Brisa says, Talmud Lomer itcha, in the posuk Vayikra Yud Tes posuk Yud Gimel, lo solin pulas socher itcha, it says, with you. What do we learn from that? Ledaitcha, with your awareness, with your knowledge. Yochol afilu einlo, would the employer be in violation even if you don't have the means of paying him? Tamud lomar itcha, which means sheyesh itcha, you have the means and you do not pay him. That's when there is the violation. Yochol afilu himcheu eitzel chenvoni veitzel shulchoni. This concept we saw in the Mishnah, where an employer sends the worker for his pay to a store or to a money changer. The example that we elaborated on, based on Rashi on the Mishnah, was imagine a worker that needs a certain amount of fruits. So the employer says to the worker, go to such and such a store, fruit store, and he will give you the fruits that you need, and I will pay the store owner. So the worker gets his pay in the form of fruits, and the store owner will get his pay from the employer. Let us say the employer delays in paying the store owner. Does that constitute a violation of Baal Tolin? Talmud Lomer itcha. That's when the violation is when it's coming from you. V'lo shimcheu eitzel chenvoni ve'eitzel shulchani. Namely, where you are the one to pay the worker, then we can talk in terms of Baal Tolin. But not a case where you sent the worker for his pay to the store owner, as we just described. So in this source, we saw a number of situations where we raise the possibility of maybe lo bal tolin applies under additional circumstances, and each one of them we ruled out, and each one derived from the word itcha. We just explained that, and that's a quote from the Mishnah. The question now is raised. Let us say that the store owner unto whom the worker was sent, in fact, did not pay the worker, didn't give the worker the fruits that he expected. Choser o eino choser. The Rashi, a few lines up from here in the Rashi commentary, Choser HaSocher, the worker, Eitzel Balabayas, Im Lo Nosan HaChenvoni, V'Nizchayev Balabayas L'Shalem, do we say that the employer-employee relationship returns to its original status, whereby the worker would come back to the employer and demand his pay, and of course that would, assuming that that is the case, then that would reinstate the possibility of the owner, of the employer, violating lo solon if he doesn't pay the worker? Or do we say not so, that he doesn't come back? Rav Sheshes Omar Eino Choser, Rav Omar Choser. Rav Sheshes says the original relationship is not restored, and Rabba says it is. Omar Rabba Mino Amin Olah. From where do I know this, that the original relationship is restored? Mi de kotani, from the fact that it says in the Mishnah the following: Eino over olof, that in the event that the worker was sent to the chenvoni, then there is no bal tolin. Meva udolovar, from this we infer that it's true there is no bal tolin ha mehader hodar, but he does come back. Rav Sheshes Omar, my Eino Over. What does Eino Over of the Mishnah mean? Eino Betoras Lavor. That means that there isn't any relationship to be reinstated whatsoever. So that when a worker is sent to a store owner to receive his pay in produce, and we establish then that the Isur Bal Tolin no longer applies, the ability to reinstate the employer-employee relationship, according to Rav Sheshes, doesn't take place whatsoever, even without the Isur of Bal Tolin being in place. So, according to Rabba, in the event that the store owner doesn't pay him, the employee returns for his pay to the employer. But even so, the Mishnah tells us that Bal Tolin will no longer apply. The Gemara continues with a new question. Bol mine me Rav Sheshes. The question was asked of Rav Sheshes. Kablonus. Kablonus is an employer-worker relationship where the worker is paid for the job. And that is in contrast to a worker who is paid on an hourly or daily basis. Here you have someone who is hired. Maybe we would refer to him as a contract worker. He agreed to a certain price for a job getting done. Now, once the job is done, do the laws of Bal Tolin kick in? So the question then is, Oiver Olov Mishum Bal Tolin, Oyein Oiver Olov Mishum Bal Tolin. The need to pay on time, let's say within a day of the completion of the job, does that have relevance to kablonus or not? And now that question, the analysis of that question, is dependent on the following. Do you say, Umon kine b'shvach kli v'halvohi? Notice we have a very, we'll say, deliberate lettering scheme. We presented the problem as Aleph oy beis. Is it A, like Aleph, or B, or beis? In the analysis of the question, we present the analysis that's relevant to the beis side of things first. Hence, you see in our marked Gemaras the beis, and then on the next line you see Aleph. It's not that we did things out of order, but rather the Gemara is analyzing after presenting the question in an A B fashion. The analysis is then in B A fashion. So if you are going to suggest that there is no violation of Baal Tolin, that is a function of saying Umon Kine B'Shvach Kli. The craftsman who was hired to do a job, upon his completion of the job, it is viewed as if he acquires the article. Oh, it becomes his article, Umon Kine B'Shvach Kli, then the money owed to him is no different than a debt, than a loan that needs to be paid up. And therefore, the term sochir or schirus doesn't apply. The pasuk itself said, lo solen pulas sochir itcho ad boker. Sochir would not be the appropriate term, wouldn't be the word that you would use to describe a craftsman that is said to have acquired the vessel. And when you say, how did he acquire it? Through the improvements that he made in it. The Rashi adds a little bit here. Umon kine b'shvach kli v'zoyche b'mashish b'choy. And he acquires the vessel, the item, through the improvements that he made. Umishum kablanuso yotze lo. Ukshemachziro lo, when the item is returned to the customer, to the owner, harehu kemoicher lo shevach shehoyo lo besocho. It's as if the craftsman is selling the article to the owner, selling the improvement to the owner. And in presenting it that way, we then said halvohi. Rashi says velo shem schirus aleh, and the term schirus, which you find in the pasuk sochir, is inapplicable to a relationship like this. On the other hand, oi, the Gemara itself goes on, oi, ein umon kine b'shvach kli uschirus hi. Or do we say that the craftsman is not said to have acquired the vessel, and the return of the vessel is like a resale? Not at all. He doesn't acquire it, and the relationship remains schirus, like a hired hand, like a hired worker, hired for the day, hired for the hour, or hired for the job. They're all the same, according to this side of analysis. And if that's the case, then, as the Aleph before suggested, there would be the violation of Baal Tolin, of paying on time. Omar Lahu Rav Sheshis. Rav Sheshis was the one from whom the question was asked, so he answers, Oiver, there is a violation in the case of Kablonus of Baal Tolin. Question, V'ha Tanya Eino Over? But we have a Tanaic source that says that in Kablonus there is no violation. The Gemara answers, Hasam Shehimcheu Eitzel Chenvoni V'Eitzel Shulchoni. That is specifically a case where the umon was sent to a store owner or to a money changer and to expect payment from them. And as we saw, in a case like that, then the isur, the violation of Baal Tolin, doesn't apply. Neimo Misayale, can we suggest that there is support to Rav Sheshis from the following Tanaic source? Hanoisen talisa l'uman, a person gave his garment, talis, to a craftsman, to an artisan. Gomra v'hodio, once the artisan finishes the job and he informs the customer, afilu mikan v'ana sora yomim eino over mishum baal tolin. There is no violation of baal tolin, as long as the article remains in the shop. even though the customer was informed that the job is finished, there's no baal tolin. Nosna lo b'chatzi ayom. Once the uman, artisan, gives the article back to the owner, even at midday, misheshokolov chama oiver mishum baal tolin. Here we've dashed the line over, similar to the dash underlining where Rav Sheshes delivered his answer, where it said over, that in Kablonis there is the possibility of being in violation of Baal Tolin. V'i Amris Uman Koine B'Shvach Kli Amai Over. If you were to say that the Uman acquires the item through the improvements that he made, why would there be any violation of Baal Tolin? So we must conclude, therefore, that Ein Uman Koine B'Shvach Kli, that the Uman doesn't acquire it, and the standard laws of paying on time apply to Kablonus as well. Omar Rav Mori Breid Rav Kana, in response to what the Gemara just tried to do, namely bring support to Rav Sheshes, Rav Mori says there is no support from this source to Rav Sheshes. Why? Because the source spoke about the Garda de Sarbala. He gave it to a Garda de Sarbala. It's a type of profession that deals with fabrics. And what is unique about this profession? Before we describe what he does, one thing we'll make clear, in that there is no, at least on the surface of things, there's no Shevach Kli. In fact, Rashi says, if the talis was left without the treatment of the Garda Sarbala, it would have lasted much longer than right now. So what Rav Mori is saying from this source, we don't see the description of a case where there is an Uman and there is Shevach Kli. The Gemara asks, what do you mean there's no Shevach Kli? There's no improvement. L'mayava niale? What did he give it to the Garda Sabrala for? L'rakuchi? He gave it to him for softening through various manipulations of the talis. We'll see in a moment what he actually does to it. It becomes softer. Well, Haynu Shvachei, that is its improvement. So why do you say before, why do you say that there's no Shevach to speak of in this case? And however, had there been Shevach, then in fact maybe Uman Koine B'Shvach Kli. But there is Shevach. There's the softening of the article. Lo Tzricha. It is, it really is necessary to be taught in the following sense. The ko'agre mine livtushi. The worker was hired for livtushi. What is livtushi? For beating it. Bitsha ubitsha b'mosa. Every pounding of it would generate a cost, or would cost the customer a maw. Maw is a denomination of currency. Now, let's take stock of what we've just said. Let's learn Rashi together. The Ogar Lebitshi. Ela lioilam lav begarda, ela betikun horishon shikorin. Rashi gives a French word. When the article comes from the weaver, from where it's manufactured, boichin oisoid braglayim basoch kliets b'mayim v'karka ruyulik b'kach. The article, this fabric, is trampled underfoot in a vessel made of wood with water. Mihu lo bekablonus askinon elo beschirus. And here is the main point of the Rashi. This is, we didn't say this when we were learning the Gemara. At this point in the Gemara, the way it views the Tanaic source is that it's not a case of kablonus at all. It's a case of schirus. Now, since it's not a case of kablonus, we cannot say that it's a support to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was speaking about a situation where there is kablonus, and yet Rav Sheshes ruled that there is a possibility of bal tolin. This source doesn't describe kablonus. It describes schirus, where a person is hired not for completing a job, but rather for the trampling, the pounding of the vessel underfoot. Bein yashbiach uvein lo yashbiach scharo lefi minyan betishoy seha. Whether there is actual improvement in the fabric or not, the worker gets paid according to the number of betishois. Kach v'kach betishois, v'kach v'kach mois. X number of tramplings for X number of coins. So, as we indicated before, there is no, we can't say that there's a support from this source to Rav Sheshes. When the source says that from sunset, Oiver Mishum Bal Tolin, that is basically a reflection of a standard case of schirus, of a person hired. True, he's not hired by the hour or by the day, but he's hired per betisha. And as Rashi so accurately pointed out, the payment is made in accordance to the number of poundings and not based on the improvement of the vessel. Whether the vessel experiences improvement or not, the fabric experiences improvement or not, is irrelevant. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Sochir bezmanoi nishba v'noitel v'chulei. We explained this point when we were learning the Mishnah. The worker has a right during the time that the employer is expected to pay the worker. During that time, the worker has the option of swearing, claiming, "I didn't get paid yet, so pay me." In general, and we elaborate on this when we learned the Mishnah, in general, a Torah-mandated oath is made only in the event that someone is stating a claim whereby he is denying a debt. In denying a debt, in fact, to be more accurate, we say in partial denial of a debt, there is a Torah mandate for him to swear. The idea of swearing, which results in the individual's ability to collect, is something that the rabbis enacted in specific instances. This is one of them. Sochir amai tokinu le rabbonon le mishtaba b'shochil. Why did the rabbis institute an oath for a worker to take and shokil and collect payment? You'll notice we have a bracketed section and there's a star note in the margin indicating achrei hasograyim wofia tshuva l'sheila b'loshon mesukenes. After the brackets will appear the answer to the question once the language of the Gemara, which is in the brackets, is upgraded, is corrected. Within the brackets, there are expressions that need to be corrected. So if we just skip the brackets for a moment, the Gemara asked, why is there a rabbinic enactment enabling the worker to swear and through that collect his payment, collect his wages? Omar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Takonas Kavuos Shonu Kan. Takonas are enactments, Kavuos, that are fixed. And Rashi says, four lines from the top, the enactment here is so appropriate, it's so fitting, so much so that we can uproot a Torah level teaching and institute this. The Midoraisa Rashi goes on to say, Midoraisa was on a Torah level, someone who is expected to pay and denies it, who nishba? The one who was expected to pay is the one that ordinarily would swear if he is denying the need to pay. Tichtiv, v'lokach be'olov, lokach, he takes an oath, v'lo yishamin, as a result of the oath, he doesn't pay. V'ocho, in our case with the employer and the employee, shaklua l'shvua mibala bayis, who is the one in the employer-employee relationship that is, we'll say, expected to pay, obviously, the bala bayis, the owner, the employer, v'shadua, and they sent the shvua after taking it from the bala bayis, sent it upon asochir, on the worker. So we see the expression takonas gevuos, we learn from Rashi, it means that we're dealing with enactments that are so appropriate that they deserve to be established. Kofua likboa is to fix something, to establish something, to make established, fixed enactments, to supersede or change. I ordinarily don't like the word change because it has a connotation that one can change Torah law. In the context of rabbinic enactments, that happens. But let's leave it to rabbinic enactments from the during the time of the Talmud. Such things could take place. Nothing of that sort nowadays. So Rav Nachman Omer Shlomo says that what the Mishnah describes is something that is an enactment. It's very appropriate. Shvua de balabayas hi. The shvua in question really is upon the employer. He's the one that has to pay and would be in the position to say, I don't need to pay. So, and he would have to swear. That's on a Torah level. And the rabbis, through their enactment, uprooted the shvua from the oath from the employer and placed it upon the socher, the worker. Now why? What's the explanation of that? That we'll see in the continuation of the Gemara. In the meantime, though, we have to go back over the bracketed section that we skipped. The question was raised, why did the rabbis institute a shvua for the worker to swear and through that collect payment? We continue in the bracketed section. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Halochas Gedoilois Shanu Kan. The term halachas ordinarily refers to halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Those are oral traditions that Moshe received from Mount Sinai that are not written in the Torah. The Gemara asks, though, hani hilchasa ninu, hani takonas ninu. These are the rule concerning workers swearing and collecting is not an oral tradition dating back to Sinai. That's a rabbinic enactment. So how can Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel describe it as halachas gedolos? Elo Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel takonas gedolos shanu kan. The Gemara asks, even according to this upgraded version, gedolos michlal diko ketanos, by saying gedolos great enactments, you're implying that there's such a thing as small enactments. Is that true? That's not true. Once the rabbis enact something, it's important legislation, and you wouldn't refer to one as gadol, leaving room to think that there are those that are katan, that are there, those that are smaller, insignificant. So that's also not an accurate statement. Elo Omar Rav Nachman Omar Shmuel. Up till now, we've seen attempts by Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel. Here, Rav Nachman, in the name of Shmuel, says, Takonas kevuos shanu kan. Enactments that deserve to be established and fixed. As we explained at length earlier, that is what we have taught over here. And now the Gemara goes through the explanation. Before we go further, though, a new marking appears. And you'll see on the side, in the margin, a crown shape. Tamim, lama notlu hashvua me'al ba'al habayis, ve'tiluhu al hasocher. Why is it that the rabbis removed the shvua from the employer? As we saw before in the Rashi, who swears? One who would ordinarily be in the position to having to pay. So he would swear that he doesn't need to pay. The worker is not in the position of needing to pay. He's trying to collect payment. So we need to explain what's the mechanism, what's the reason for this change. So now let's read back in the Gemara. Shvua de Balabayasi, we read that before. The Shvua is something that, technically speaking, on a Torah, from a Torah perspective, it was upon the employer. V'akruha Rabbanon l'Shvua de Balabayas v'Shadua. So here the rabbis uprooted the Shvua, the oath, from the domain of the employer, and placed an oath upon the worker, so that now he can swear, and through swearing collect payment. This, of course, all of this story arises in a situation where a worker hasn't yet received payment at a time that he deserved to get paid. And so the rabbis took the shvua from the employer and placed it upon the employee, mishum kedei chayav desochir, so as to preserve the life of the worker. Through this, he'll be able to continue living. In other words, he'll be able to collect his wages and live on the wages that he collected. The Gemara asks, "Umishum kedei chayav desochir mafsidena lei lebalabayas." Because of a concern for the well-being of the worker, we cause a loss to the owner, to the employer. In other words, why do you favor one over the other? Why are we concerned with the welfare of the worker over the welfare of the owner, of the employer? The Gemara says, "Balabayas gufei nichale de mishtaba sochir v'shokil." The owner himself, the employer himself, is quite satisfied with the worker having the option of swearing and thereby getting paid. Why is the employer happy with this? Ki hechi deliskeru le poalim. This way, poalim, well, liskeru means to make themselves available for employment, so that workers this way will make themselves available. And that's to the benefit to owners, to homeowners, to employers, to have a workforce readily available. And they're willing to do so because they know that they have an option of swearing at the appropriate time and getting their pay. The Gemara asks, Socher gufei nichole de mishtaba balabayas v'yifka ki hechi de ligruhu. The workers, they would have been very happy had the shvua remained with the employer, and the shvua that the employer would be taking, if it came to that, would be, I paid them already. The yifka, and the worker would, that specific worker would lose his schar, he'll lose his wages because of the oath of the employer. And you'll ask, why are workers happy with an arrangement like this, that the shvua would remain with the owner? The Gemara said, ki hechi deligru, so as to motivate employers to hire workers. So workers are happy with that, with the balabayas swearing. Once a balabayas knows that he can swear and avoid having to pay, that will be all the more incentive to a balabayas to hire workers. And that is exactly what the workers want. The Gemara says you don't need to add incentive to a balabayas. Balabayas al korchi ogar. An employer, a homeowner, well, has to hire workers when the need arises for a worker. If it's to fix one's plumbing or electricity or carpentry, he needs the services. You don't have to add an incentive for him to hire someone. He'll hire anyway, even if he doesn't have the right to swear and exempt himself. Question: Socher nami bal korcha yiskar. Well, by the same token, why do you grant the socher the right to swear? He doesn't need any additional incentive for to be hired out, he'll have to hire himself out under all circumstances because he needs food to live on. He needs an income to live on. So even without the worker granted the right to swear and collect payment, he'll hire himself out. So we haven't made any progress in discovering why the rabbis removed the shvua from the balabais and placed it on the worker. Ela balabais torud b'fayalim hu. The balabais is preoccupied with dealing with all the different employees that are approaching him for pay. He can lose concentration on who he paid and who he didn't pay. So since he's Torah B'Poalim, the rabbis enacted the right to swear for the worker. Rashi says Torah B'Poalov V'Sovar Shenosan Lo V'Lo Nosan. He is so preoccupied with his workers, he'll end up thinking that he paid when in fact he didn't pay. So to expect him to swear I paid when it's very likely that he didn't pay is something wrong. It's not right to have a balabais who we know is a bit confounded with the pressure of paying his employees to swear something that might be false. Well, the Gemara asks, if that's our consideration, then ihafi nasiv le below shvua, then let the law insist on the balabais paying the worker who comes for his pay, even without the need for the worker to swear. Once you establish that the balabais is really on unsure turf because of the pressure created by all of his employees, let the employee who claims he hasn't got paid yet receive payment simply by making the claim without having to swear. And yet we said that a worker won't get paid unless he swears that he didn't get paid. The Gemara says, you want to know why the worker has to swear? Kidei lahafiz daitu shebal bayis, so as to placate the owner. In other words, an owner confronted by a worker claiming, I didn't get paid yet. And us, the halacha is saying, well, if the worker is making that claim, and you, the employer, aren't really sure of who you paid and who you didn't pay, so pay him, that will make the balabais feel ill at ease, that he's paying just like that. So in order to assuage his feelings, the balabais's feelings of being taken advantage of, we tell the worker, swear that you didn't get paid. Once the balabais hears the worker swearing, he realizes that it's a really serious matter and he's not being taken advantage of, and he'll more willingly pay. Question, v'nesiv lei be'edim, why not, instead of having the oath, why not enact that the pay is to be in the presence of worker of witnesses? Rashi says, "Leisiv le beedim v'itein lo below shvua l'sakno lahen l'chol sochri palim shi'itnu scharam beedim." Let the rabbis make a takona, make an enactment that all employers pay workers only in the presence of witnesses. V'im yoimar parativ shelo beedim itein below shvua. And if the owner should claim, "I paid him without witnesses present," we will tell an employer like that, well, you pay him even without a shvua. In other words, if there is an enactment that pay must be made in the presence of witnesses, the balabais has no way out of claiming that he paid when no witnesses were present. So with this approach, by making a takona that pay must be made in the presence of witnesses, you see that the worker ultimately will be able to collect his pay even without the need for swearing. So, once again, why is it that we don't function that way, imposing the need for witnesses to be present when a worker is paid? You know why we didn't do that? Tricha lehu milsa. It's too much trouble to seek out witnesses every day. Question, v'nesiv le me'ikara. Why not enact that employers pay workers before they start working? Rashi says, v'nesiv le me'ikara liskan l'balabayas d'yoyev agre b'tzafer mekami aviditayu d'yosi sochir lo mehemon. If we were to enact that pay is done before the job, if a worker would come later on and say, I didn't get paid, we wouldn't believe him. So why is that not the enactment? The Gemara says, Shneim roisim ba'kofa, both employer and worker prefer hakofa. Hakofa is where something is done on credit, so that both the owner would prefer paying later, not at the outset. Sometimes owners don't have the means of paying before the job, so they're happy to have that delay. And the worker also doesn't want to be paid at the outset, because in the course of his work, the money might drop from him and he'll lose the money. Ihachi, if you say then that the balabayas is preoccupied and therefore can forget having paid, or can forget whether he paid or not, and therefore we took the shvua from the balabayas and placed it on the worker. In other words, we can't rely on the balabayas. If that's the case, that employers are torud, are confounded by the pressure of workers, afilu kotzatz nami, then even when it comes to the realm of kotzatz means an established rate, a fixed wage was established, then even in a case like that, we shouldn't believe the employer. Aloma tanya, why then do we have the following source? Uma noimer shtayim kotzatz li. A craftsman says to an owner, we agreed upon you're paying me two, whatever, $200, $2, but two of something. And the employee, the worker, responds, lo katsats, I should made a mistake there, the employer. Whereas the worker was the ones claiming two, the employer responds, "Lo katsatzi lo chelo achas, I agreed to pay you only one, half of what you're claiming." Hamotzi mechavero olav araya. We say in a case like that that the uman has to bring proof. He's the motzi mechavero. He's trying to extract from the employer additional, something more than the employer claims. So since we put the burden of proof on the worker, it seems then that we automatically would side with the employer. So a moment before we said that you can't rely on employers because they're preoccupied with all his different workers. So he can forget who he paid and who he didn't pay. Here, we don't seem to be viewing an employer as being someone who is torud. You're placing the burden of proof on the worker to establish his position. Otherwise, we rely on the balabayas. The Gemara says, "Ktsitza vale midkar dechiri le'inshi." People, midkari means dechiri, is to remember. Midkar dechiri. People definitely remember how much they agreed to pay. The what employers have a tendency to forget is, did they pay the worker already or not? When we speak of the time the wages come due, there a balabayas can err into thinking that he paid someone when he didn't yet pay them. Ihochi. If it's so, then a balabayas is torud, is preoccupied with his workers, and as a result of the pressure, he can forget. Afilo avar zmano nami. Then, even if the time frame for paying, the immediate time frame for paying has passed, let the worker swear and get paid. Aloma tnan, why therefore do we see in the Mishnah, avar zmano eino nishba v'notel? Once the immediate time frame for paying has passed, a daytime worker, we've already learned in the past, has a right to expect his wages by the next morning. You know, throughout the night, by the next morning. A nighttime worker can expect his wages to be paid the next day until sunset. During that time period, we said that a worker can swear, claiming he didn't get paid yet, and then get the pay. If, however, that time period passed, then we see that the worker loses the ability to swear and collect payment. And based on what do we say that? Chazaka ein balabayas oiver mishum bal tolin. We know that employers would not subject themselves to be in violation of bal tolin, the violation of not paying on time. Owners, balabayases, employers always pay on time. The Gemara points out then, v'ho amris balabayas tor b'falavu, but didn't we say above that the balabayas can't be relied upon? He is preoccupied with his workers and he becomes confused. The Gemara says both sources are correct. Ani mili, when do we say that an employer is confounded and can't be relied upon? Mekame delimte zman chiyuve. Before the time of violation arises. So just to use one simple example, a daytime worker can expect payment at some time during the night. The zman chiyuve in that example for a daytime worker is the arrival of the next morning. So during that initial time period where the wages are due, there's a lot of pressure, and there we say employers can forget. And under circumstances like that, we say we use the expression Balabayas Torud Befo'alov. So when does Balabayas Torud Befo'alov apply? Before the Zman Chiyuva arises. The Zman Chiyuva is that point in time where the violation sets in, the violation of not paying. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Avol Mota Zman Chiyuve, but once the time of obligation of or of violation sets in, example, just to repeat once again, a daytime worker expects payment from the employer throughout the night. The Zman Chiyuve is with the break of dawn, with Alos HaShachar. When Alos HaShachar arrives, Romi Anafshe Umidkar, the employer strains himself, takes upon himself the need to focus and concentrate, and will recall the truth. He'll recall whether or not he paid. So at that point, the worker no longer has the right to swear and collect payment, because we will rely on the balabayas knowing. The Gemara asks, "V'chi sochir oiver mishum bal tigzol?" Are you suggesting that the worker would be in violation of theft, of taking something that he doesn't have coming to him? According to what we've just said, when the Zman Chiyuva arises, we believe the employer. He takes it upon himself to concentrate and recount what really happened. He, the employer, wouldn't want to be in violation of Baal Tolin. Are you then suggesting And by the way, and as a result of that, we said the worker at that point no longer can swear to collect. What are you saying? What are you implying? You're implying that at that point then, if the worker were to swear and collect, we would at a time that we're saying that the owner is believed, you're then suggesting that the worker would be over, would be in violation of stealing. Would a worker be in violation of theft? So that if a worker, even when the Zman Chiyuva arises, and the worker is nevertheless claiming, I didn't get paid yet, let us believe him, because otherwise he would, otherwise we wouldn't say he's a thief. So then why at the Zman Chiyuva are we saying that the worker no longer swears and collects? The Gemara answers, Hasam, on the owner or employer side of things, Trei Chazoki. There are two points of status that the owner enjoys. We'll say points of assumption that create a given status with regard to the balabayas. Hachachada chazaka. On the side of the worker, there's only one chazaka. We can translate the term chazaka in addition to a given status, we can explain it as a presumption. And now the Gemara elaborates. Gabi balabayas ikotre chazoki. There are two presumptions that serve to favor the employer at the time of chiyuv, at that moment where the transgression would have set in. What are the two? Chado the ein balabayas over mishum baltolin. One presumption is that an employer would not allow himself to be in violation of baltolin, of withholding wages, or of allowing the time to go by and not pay. V'chado the ein socher mashis choro. There's another presumption that workers would not have delayed in receiving their payment. Workers will insist on getting paid at, we'll say, at the first possible opportunity. Waiting till the Zman Chiyuv kicks in is a long time, relatively speaking, to go by, and a worker allowing himself not to get paid. The Hacha, on the side that favors the Sochir, Chada Chazaka. There's only one presumption, and that is that he wouldn't be in violation of Loi Sigzal. So as a result of that, we say that when the Zman Chiyuv arises, we believe the Balabayas, and as a result, the worker no longer has the option of swearing and collecting his pay. But prior to the Zman Chiyuva, as we explained at length, since the Balabayas is Torud, the worker has that option of swearing and thereby getting paid. Im yesh edim shetovoi, hare ze nishba venotel. The Mishnah said that if there are witnesses that the worker issued his claim for pay, then this worker, even if the Zman Chiyuva has gone by, can maintain the original right that he had to swear and collect payment. The Gemara asks Vaha Kotova Kamon, or Vaha Kotova Le Kamon. In order to appreciate this question, we look at Rashi on the second line from the top. The worker claimed in our presence, where is my money? witnesses that saw him or heard him place his claim, what does their presence add, or what does their presence require? What do we gain by having the witnesses? Omer Avasi, Shetovoi Bizmanoi. The witnesses are testifying that the worker made his claim for wages within the time frame. The Gemara asks, Vadilma Labosar Hachipara, maybe the employer paid him afterwards. Why are we saying that if there are witnesses that the worker made his claim within the time frame, he, the worker, can continue with the privilege of swearing even afterwards? Maybe in the meantime, the employer paid him. Omar Abaye, Shetovoi Kol Zmanoi. The witnesses tell us that the worker was making his claim during the entire time frame. It's not like we thought that he made a claim during the time frame and maybe afterwards the owner paid him. No, the worker was issuing his claim and reissuing it throughout the entire time period. Rashi, on the second line from the top, says, V'dilma l'bosar hochi, maybe afterwards, the Azli Edem Mehosam, when the witnesses left the scene. Remember, the witnesses testified that the worker placed his claim during that time period that the worker could expect his pay. Maybe after the witnesses left, Pare Bo Bayom, Delo Ovar Babal Talin, maybe the employer paid him during that time period, he wouldn't have violated Baal Talin. So the Gemara to that responded, the worker was issuing his claim throughout the entire time period and the worker didn't receive his pay. The Gemara now asks, Uli Oilom? And again, we resort to Rashi to understand what the Oilom mean literally means, and forever. Bitmiha, Ubishvil Shetova Kol Hayom Velo Nosan. And because the worker was issuing his claim for pay during the entire time period, if he was a night worker, so he has a right to demand pay throughout the following daytime hours. And just because he was making his claim throughout the entire daytime, velo nosan, and during that time the owner, the employer, didn't pay. Are we granting believability to the worker forever whenever he would say, I didn't receive pay? And if the employer would want to swear, we won't believe him. Could you imagine that a worker would delay so long? I mean, imagine the work was completed a year earlier. And during the whole time period, after the work was completed, all, let's say, 12-hour period after the work was completed, he laid claim, didn't get paid. Are we suggesting that if a year later the worker comes to say, "I want my pay," we're gonna still believe him? Would that worker wait so long in collecting his wages? The Gemara answers. Omer of Chamo Bar Ukva, Keneged Oisoi Hayoim Shel Tvia. This idea that a worker will continue to be believed after there are witnesses that he didn't get paid during the time frame itself. How much longer do we say a worker will still be believed to claim he didn't get paid, swear and collect? So he said, "Kolo so yom shel tviya." What does that mean? Rashi says, "Omer of Chama Baruch for keneged kol yom shel tviya yom echad liachar zmanoi nasilu chachomim lishavu v'yitold." One additional day. That's the amount of time that the chachomim will grant the worker the right to make his claim, to continue his claim, I didn't get paid, and swear, and thereby collect. But beyond that, we're not going to, we're not granting workers an open ticket to swearing and collecting their pay. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.